Willkommen!
And bienvenue!
I'm Shelby.
And I'm Finley. And this is Bravo to Broadway, your go-to podcast for all things Bravo.
And all things Broadway.
All right, Shelby, let's get right into it. What is your rant of the week?
So my rant of the week is voter suppression. Woo! Gotta love
suppressing
the voters.
Gotta love it.
Nothing better. So actually, what's really interesting about this is I'm born and raised in Georgia, right? And I moved out to Oregon last year. So I am now voting in a very different way from the way that I'm used to. And when I was in Georgia, Georgia makes you like go to the polls in person or have like this really long, complicated process to get an absentee ballot. But in Oregon, once you're registered here, right? They mail you a ballot. And that's just like the done thing. And Oregon, fun fact, has been doing mail-in ballots since 1998. And we've never had an issue of voter fraud. There is no such thing.
Well, that's
fun. Or if it
is,
very negligible. Yeah, so I have a booklet that has the full text of everything that's on the ballot. It's my ballot book. And it also has the full plot forms of everyone's who's running. And then, like, for propositions or, like, changes in wording, yeah, it also has, it has the full wording, it has an explanatory statement, and it has arguments in favor and against. So you can make
an informed
decision.
Well, that is ridiculous. And you have time to research it all to make sure what's being presented is accurate. Meanwhile, in Georgia, we just have to live in Kemp's reality.
I've come to the conclusion that everywhere else in the United States operates under voter fraud or voter suppression.
Okay, for real, though, if you want to talk voter suppression, I went to go vote early like a good little citizen. And also because I'm making sure my vote got counted because Kemp has already set the precedent for not counting mail-in votes. If you live in Georgia, get your patootie to the polls. It was straight up a line that wrapped all the way around the building. No social distancing. Not a mask in sight. I walked away. Went back another day. Same story. Walked away. And I'm just over here like, great! I'm never going to get to vote. Because it's so crazy the amount. And I read an article that was like, the long lines in Georgia aren't a example of voter suppression. It's an example of voter enthusiasm. Says who?
I mean, yeah, there's enthusiastic voters, sure, but what about all the working people who only have a 30-minute lunch break to go vote?
Well, like, and also, it's voters that are so scared of voter suppression that they're showing up early. That's all it is. So, I'm sorry,
true.
But that's voter suppression.
Yeah. And that's, that doesn't
crazy.
Give us free and fair elections, which are a cornerstone for democracy.
The U.S. has never been a democracy, let's be real.
Yeah, but at least we've had more fair-ish elections than this one.
Yeah, this one is a giant mess. And it's because, I mean, me and my fiancé were talking about it today. I genuinely think it's because the Republicans know if everyone votes and everyone's vote counts, they will never win another election.
There's quotes saying as much. Like, they've been quoted saying as much. Especially, like, if you look at them
especially
explaining
Trump.
When they gerrymander a district. I, like, dude, that Republicans know that if everybody votes, like, especially lower working class folks, right? Then
votes of color.
Yeah. Them too. Generally speaking, not everybody. These are wide generalizations of a large group of people. But yeah, generally speaking, and that's what counts for voting. You got to have that simple majority. So it's just all
ridiculous. Just a disaster.
And this is not even talking about the fake ballot boxes that were put up in California by
that
the
say
Republican
official.
Party.
They say official ballot box on them. Like, it could
it's
not be more misleading.
Official ballot box. Yeah. It is
and also,
an
they were issued
box.
A cease and desist. I don't know if you saw this. They were issued a cease and desist. And they said no. And then Trump tweeted, "We'll see you in court." It wasn't the Democrats that said no. It was the Electoral Commission said, stop it. All these votes are fraudulent because whenever there is an official ballot collection box, the envelopes put into that box, prior to being put into that box, have to be signed on the outside by the person collecting them. So everyone putting their ballots into those stupid ballot boxes, and the churches that have them are just like, everyone trusts the church. Well, you're discounting all of their votes. Period.
You know what? You know what? You know what? This is not the good citizen in me. This is the one who wants Trump to lose. Maybe we should leave him out.
I don't think it's just Republicans dropping him off there. I think the Republicans put them in very strategic locations.
Yeah, I haven't looked quite too frankly. Far into where they've put them, but yeah, makes sense.
It's like churches and some are at GOP headquarters and stuff, but it's just, it's a disaster. And what bothers me is that the Republicans are the one talking about voter fraud, but they're the ones making sure it's happening. They're the ones doing it.
That's always been the case. Republicans have always been the one who do voter fraud. How do you think Kemp got elected governor?
He elected himself governor and said, I'm not counting the mail-in ballots because I won the ones in person.
Exactly.
And if you think I'm joking, if you don't live in Georgia and you think that's a joke, look it up. It's not. I wish it was. Stacey Abrams should be our governor.
Absolutely. It's just all bananas crazy right now. And there's so many different like statehood laws, right? All the states are in their different ways trying to deny voters access to the polls. And I can't get into that because I haven't studied that long enough. But it's just all crazy. I by far prefer Oregon's voting method. It is the best voting method. And I'm also, maybe I'm getting radicalized, who knows, it's not the worst thing in the world to happen to me, but I think that we should do away with first past the post voting. I really like the preferential ranked choice voting system, actually, after...
Honestly, though, it's what we should be using. It is what most places use that are free and fair democracies. And well, fun actually, fact, for everyone who thinks the U.S. is a free and fair democracy, and that's not just a joke they throw around, we actually rank, like, 29th. It's either 27th or 29th in terms of, like, how free our democracy is.
The most free country in the world.
By any stretch of the imagination.
It's not because people are trying to take your guns.
It's really not. Oh, I was just driving through Kennesaw earlier today, and fun fact, that is the only city in the U.S. where every household is required to own a gun by law.
Hello.
Welcome to Georgia. It's fun here.
Yeah. There's a... Okay.
Oh, and the other thing, the reason I know Republicans know they're going to lose in Georgia in particular... Every single Republican sign I've seen does not identify them as Republican and is colored blue. There are no red signs. There are no signs that say Democrat. There are no signs that say Republican. The ones that are Democrat do identify themselves as Democrat, but the Republicans do not.
Oh, dang. Oh, dang.
For Senate, State Senate, House of Reps, State Reps, everyone. It does not say their party affiliation if they are Republican. They are trying to be misleading because they know that's the only way they can win is to cheat. I said what I said. Okay. Well, just to throw a quick little one on the end, my rant of the week is shockingly not that. I need to rant for a minute about the fact that everyone is body shaming Billie Eilish. The girl is beautiful. She's 18 years old. She's fairly thin by most societal standards. And y'all are like, oh, she came out in a cami and sweat shorts. Oh, the horror. She has a slight belly when she walks at a certain angle. We must attack her.
During and it's like, COVID-19 when nobody can go do anything.
Like, literally, who cares what she looks like? I just want to hear her sing.
Also that. I could give less of a bleep.
Honestly, though, it's like, it's also mostly middle-aged, like, women who are body-shaming this literal child. And well, because, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, you know, nobody could be prettier than I am in my sad, miserable life.
Yeah. That it's like we're waiting for an excuse to tear down women, and it's just obnoxious.
Well, we've got
y'all wish you had won as many Grammys as she did.
Man, I wish at I was talented 17. As Billie Eilish.
Honestly, though. Well, Shelby, did you have another quick little rant? I know you were a bit angry before we started this podcast.
I was very angry. All right, y'all. So behind the scenes, throwing up the curtains, throwing up the windows, looking at the man behind the curtain. That's a reference to a musical we'll do later.
Is it The Wizard of Oz?
Don't
spoil. Do I know this
it.
One?
Yeah, you do. Anywho, usually Finley and I record on a video call on Zoom. However, my Wi-Fi sucks. So we had to figure out a different problem because the lag was actually like 3 whole seconds, which just the next time you're having a conversation with somebody and you're like bouncing off each other, realize what 3 whole seconds of lag does. Now, everybody.
Then we tried Google Meets, and that was just an even worse disaster.
That was somehow even worse. And then when we went back to Zoom, it was like Zoom knew that we had betrayed it and like was just done. So now
it had a vengeance.
Video calling on our phones and recording onto our computers. And it's what time is it Eastern?
Right now it is currently 11:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We're a day.
Finley
late
is
recording.
Tired. Finley wants to be in bed.
And
technology said no.
As an educator, and so does my roommate. And we kept getting kicked out of our Zoom meetings today during our classes with children. So it's just, it's not a viable solution. And we've already called our cable company.
Let's not name drop them because I don't want to get sued.
All right, well, you'll just have to cut that out. So we already called our cable company to try to up our bandwidth speed. And they said that they did, and we've been paying more, but it's actually gotten worse. So just after the insanity that was today, because it's not like we can call and be like, give us a good deal or we're gonna, you know, go to another cable company. They've got us by the gonads. So
Shelby trying not to cuss is the funniest thing, y'all. I'm literally crying with how long it took her to say gonads.
Yeah, I had to cycle through a couple words there to settle on
you
something
just,
I felt was
you know when you can see it in somebody's face when they're thinking of, like, how to phrase, like, they're going through, like, one word, oh, can't use that, another word, can't use that. Like, you could see it all on Shelby's face. It's so, can you settle on gonads? I would have gone with testicles.
You know what? I don't know that I would have gotten to the scientific term for a long time.
Either way, the cable company rhyming in bombast is not the best. Let's leave it at that. Unless you pay them a lot of money to get their, like, fiber whatever.
Well, and that's just the thing. Like, if you, it's like, if you don't have enough money to pay it, then it sucks for you. You know?
Yeah.
I guess you won't have Wi-Fi. I guess you can't do your job. You know?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Snapchat for sponsoring this episode and actually working.
Actually working. I'm still, you know what is amazing though, is I am still on the Wi-Fi.
It's something about the phone. I don't know. I think it picks up the Wi-Fi better.
Yeah. I don't
know. Also, our laptops are both like 10 years old, so there's that.
I mean, it's only, mine's only like 6 years old.
That rounds up to 10. And with that, let's get into this week's episode of Potomac. Because we could go on and on about crappy Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
All right. So this week, It was the Below Deck Med finale. However, that show has gotten boring. So we're doing Potomac again, and I'm not sorry about it. It's probably going to be Potomac from here on out. I'm thinking, though, that next week is the reunion, and they're bringing Hannah back. So we might do Below Deck Med. But anyway, ooh, I digress. I digress. If Michael gets into a fight next episode, we'll be doing Potomac again. Anywho, this week we talked about, I'm completely drawing a blank. This is fun. What did you think the episode was about, Shelby?
Oh my gosh, that's what I
want to remind everyone that I'm now at 11:15 p.m. Okay, I'm sleepy. My brain is broken.
What did I think of the episode? I thought it was cool. I was glad that we got to see a little bit more of Karen, and her upbringing and her history.
I was glad that Monique was virtually edited out.
Yeah, I was very happy about that. Although, I did, you know what? Okay, I was gonna, I don't have my thoughts organized. Two things that were kind of my standout thoughts from the episode is I was bothered by the editors choosing to include Karen sobbing in the office. I felt like that was a
private thought that
moment.
Was a very humanizing moment for her. I thought that was something we needed to see because we don't often see Karen be very real like that. And as long as she didn't, like, take her mic off or anything, I think it was important for everyone to hear to help understand kind of her behavior the last couple seasons after losing her parents, because we never really saw her react to losing both of her parents so quickly. And I thought that moment really humanized her.
Why does she have to react? I don't know. Maybe it's just a personal thing, but, like, I felt like it was too personal. I felt icky watching it. I was like, ooh, okay, this is a very personal moment.
You haven't been with these ladies for 5 years.
Yeah, but it was an icky moment for me. I did not like what I felt in that moment. Maybe it was empathy and sympathy, and I felt bad for her. You know, I could not even imagine. Both of my parents are very luckily healthy and well right now.
Well, I think for the editors, it was a situation where she usually is very, very guarded and limited in what she allows to be shown about her. And that moment was, like, similar to the therapy moment in the closet, one where, you know, the veil drops for a second and you get to really see who Karen is and how she does hurt just like everyone else. And she does feel the same pain everyone else feels because she doesn't really let you see that throughout the course of the show.
Yeah, but if she doesn't let you see that and she is a very private person, wouldn't it be super invasive if suddenly that was just put on, like, lambast for the public? Like, if she's,
I don't know,
so
she signed
careful,
a contract.
Yeah, I've had this issue, like, with all like the hot mic moments, like with Giselle's dad a couple weeks ago. You know, it kind of bothers me. And I don't know if that's so much a housewives thing, so much as an editor's thing. I think that tends to be most of my problems with these shows, is what gets thrown out there from these very real people's lives. I don't know. It bothered me. And then,
well, what did you think about her inviting Ashley and Giselle?
I thought that was a very interesting choice. I thought that was a very calculated choice.
I told you she's a calculated person.
Yeah, I think she pulled from both edges of the friend group, knowing that they would go back.
She also pulled the two people who have confronted her the most about not being real and not being genuine on the show.
Maybe she wasn't really crying then, if she's that calculated.
Well, I think it was, you've been saying for years that you don't know who I am, you don't know who I am, come see who I am. I thought that was a really nice moment for her, where she was like, I'm an open book, come read my book.
I did like that quote. That was a good quote.
I also just died laughing because Shelby and I both went to school in a small town in Georgia. It is literally surrounded by farmland as far as the eye can see. But what did you think of Giselle's vision of a small town?
Oh, it was funny. What was pretty hysterical to me though was Ashley rolling up in those stilettos. Like
Molly would like to be known this episode.
Molly. Anywho, Ashley rolling up in the stilettos was freaking hilarious.
Whenever she was sinking into the dirt, whenever she almost fell through the combine.
Yes, that was hysterical. Actually, it was pretty funny. I bought some shoes for a wedding that's coming up. And they were like stiletto heels. And then I like looked at the venue and I was like, oh no, I need to get some different shoes.
Yeah, Georgia, you gotta watch what kind of shoes you're trying to wear out places, because some places don't have like complete flooring. It is very oftentimes slats and grass / gravel.
If I'm going through grass, I don't need to be sinking in my nice shoes in my nice dress. So,
for the record, though, my wedding is going to be held at a very old historic house that is like entirely paved with uneven brick, so don't get stilettos for that either.
Oh Lord. You are gonna make me fall on my face in front. Oh, you know what, for your wedding I don't have to walk anywhere, I can just like show up.
Oh no, you're actually walking down the aisle with Matt.
I'm walking down the aisle with Matt?
Yeah, at the beginning.
Oh, good. So you want me to fall on my face, bleed everywhere, delay the wedding for 30 minutes.
You can officiate with some, we'll get you some toilet paper rolled up for your bloody nose.
Yeah.
Molly has straight up just brought me a toy.
Molly's like, screw your podcast, it's time to play.
Do you see this dog? I'm trying to take it from her and she's like, tug of war time. Today is not going to be a great podcast, y'all. I apologize in advance.
It's even better than usual since we are so off topic.
Okay, back to Potomac. What did you think of Ray not being invited to this going home trip and how quickly he kicked them out of the house?
Was he not invited or did he just not want to go?
She brought me another toy.
Molly wants to play. I think it was weird that Ray wasn't there, especially if they're trying to like fix their marriage. It feels like to me it would have been better to bring Ray than the girls. So I did find that very curious.
I'm sorry, I've been wrestling a dog. What were you saying?
I was curious as to why. Is that her nose right next to you? No, that's the microphone.
It was her nose.
Very curious as to why Ray chose not to go.
She's choosing to eat her dinner right now. She hates me.
It is significantly later than we usually record.
She's also eating significantly later. I feel like she waited. I feel like she's plotting against me. She's like, you know what? I'm sick of you not giving me attention when you record these podcasts. This is my show. Molly has deemed this her show.
Molly is our mascot. Okay. So.
She really is. She should be everyone's mascot. She's perfect. She looks like a hammerhead shark. Anyway, do you think Michael has learned his lesson? As Ashley says.
Oh, do I think he's going to cheat on her on this trip? No, not on this trip.
What did you think about her tracker in the booty comment?
I thought it was very graphic, but I'm not going to lie, I did laugh.
I turned to my fiance and I was like, I'm going to put a tracker in your booty. And he just looked at me and went, no.
I mean, if you don't have permission, very stalkery. But...
but if it's a kink, go for it.
I mean... I'm not. Who am I to yuck someone's yum? Is all I'm gonna say on that.
Okay. What did you think of Candace being told by Karen and her own mother to press charges against Monique, and then in the like preview for the next episode, saying she wants it prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law?
I think that's what happens when you don't apologize. Honestly.
Yep.
Honestly. I think
Monique, I was gonna say
You know, I think Monique could have avoided this outcome for herself had she, A, not chased after Candace afterwards in the yard, and B, been like, I have no idea what came over me. I am so sorry that I did that. I lost my mind. I am so remorseful. I have so much regret over this. You know, like, to even take...
Well, and also the social media posts.
Yeah, not posting those in the first place. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, I just... I did appreciate her pastor.
Yeah, because he basically said, you can keep talking to me about Candace all you want, but I'm not buying the crocodile tears. You need to look at yourself.
Yeah, he's like, you need to take responsibility. And I really appreciated that, and the fact that he's, you know, kind of gave her a bit of that reality check. Did she take it? I don't know, but I'm glad that he at least...
Well, she cried and said, I need to apologize to Candace. She still hasn't done so to this day. She still has not apologized to Candace.
She hasn't apologized, even though she said she needed to. That was, I would fully say that those tears were for television, and the fact that there were cameras in her house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're meeting with your pastor for therapy, are you really bringing cameras?
Yeah.
Well, and then whenever she called them while they were at the farm, and she said, what's sad about the situation with Candace is that if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else. I don't think so.
Nobody else is going to start a fight, a physical altercation like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That is just... No. And then she was like, I just feel like I'm being written off by everybody. Yeah, because you aren't remorseful.
if you showed remorse, said, I'm sorry this happened, or even I don't know how I lost control like that. You know, like, there's so many things, even if you don't bloody mean them, like, pick one, say something.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there like you're proud of the fact that you beat someone up, because then you're just a bully.
I think she's just a bully in general.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I think most of these women are, but...
Yeah. Well, what, like, did you think about, you know, whenever Robin was talking to Candace, and then Candace was like, is it okay to talk about the $90 million you owe?
It wasn't million, I thought it was 90,000.
Was it 90,000?
I thought it was 90,000. Can I Google it?
I just know it was 90. It was probably 90,000.
It just seems like...
I think it was 90,000. She doesn't earn 90 million, so it had to be 90,000. I don't mean that in a shady way.
Yeah.
But, like, they've been really upfront about their money struggles. So, yeah, it was 90,000. You're right.
Yeah, 90,000. I just Googled it. I had to move my microphone for that. You might have to cut all of that out. I don't know. Anywho, yeah, Robin's 90,000 tax thing. I thought it was funny that Candace was like, is it okay if we talk about this?
Yeah. Well, and then whenever Candace went to her interview and was like, wasn't this the same girl that was hating on Karen for owing money? And now look where you are.
That was so funny.
It was pretty dead on.
Yeah.
Like, perfect example of your own words coming to bite you in the butt.
Pretty much. This is why we don't... You know, I don't know where I was going.
Whenever she dressed up as Tatiana, I couldn't watch.
That was another part of the thing that made me feel icky, and I don't know that I gained anything from watching her interaction with Juan. You know, I don't know that the episode needed that date to be in there.
It did not. Nobody needed to see that ever.
It didn't add anything. I'm glad that they're spicing it up and having fun. Good on them. Great job, y'all. I'm glad you're having fun.
It was a terrible wig. That's the main issue I had. She could afford a better wig.
That wasn't my issue.
It was the conversation.
It was the weird conversation. I don't know.
Latvia.
You know what? I'm not going to yuck someone's yum, but it's not for me.
No, it's not for me either. I don't know. I just wouldn't be able... I thought in that moment it was very clear they weren't actors. Like, Well, I wouldn't be able to pull it off either.
With strangers, you do that, you know, it's an arranged thing. I'm going to meet you here. I'm going to pretend to be this person. Or you don't tell them who you're going to pretend to be, but like, I'm going to, you know, we're going to put on roles, come up with a character.
Y'all, I'm going to test my fiance to see if he listens to this podcast by doing this to him. I'm going to be like, hey, meet me here. And then I'm going to wear like a wig. My mom has some wigs. Yes, this is a plan.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm going to be Tatiana. I am from Latvia.
Your fiance is like the most supportive person of this podcast.
You'd think that. But he'll probably fall asleep while I'm editing the audio, and that will be when I strike and show up at a bar in a wig.
Yeah, I just meant, like, he, like, likes all of our social media, and, like, yeah, it's fun.
Unlike all of y'all listeners, go like our social media. Dang, it's not that hard. It's Bravo to Broadway on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Jeez. And you still haven't rated us 1 to 10.
Yeah, I've been waiting. No emails.
Where are the CVs for Shelby? She is looking for a soulmate.
Oh gosh, no. But we are on Apple Podcasts now, so you should definitely rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, at the very least, that's the least y'all could do. Okay, I understand that you're listening on other mediums, but you could then go to Apple and rate us.
No, okay. If you're listening on like Spotify or what's the other popular one, Overcast. I'm sure there's a rating system. Maybe not for, there's not one for Spotify. I need to look.
But you could listen to it like on repeat on all your different devices. That would really help us out. No, it's like, fine. It's fine. You just don't love us. It's fine. Okay. Okay. So, what did you think of the parade?
Oh my gosh, it was everything I've ever wanted in life.
Specifically, Karen on a Bentley in the middle of a rural farm town.
Rural town.
In an entirely powder blue outfit straight from the 70s.
Rural town. Yeah. It was excellent. You should cut that out. That was offensive to everybody.
You know what? I think for this podcast, I'm just going to not edit the audio, and I'm just going to give y'all the raw version of what me and Shelby sound like at 11:30 p.m.
No.
It's happening. It's happening.
Oh, gosh.
I am not cutting anything out. Mwahaha! The power of the editor. And with that, we learned that Shelby has killed a man before. That was a very good evil laugh. I'm assuming it was practiced over a corpse.
It was practiced, but it was because in like fourth grade when I was in drama camp, I lost a role because I couldn't do an evil laugh. And this is my villain origin story. I was like, never again will I lose a role because I can't do an evil laugh. And so I worked.
Can we have an evil laugh off? Okay, you go first and then I'll go. Your best evil laugh.
Hold on, I gotta get back into it.
No, you have to do it on command. This is the theater.
The theater.
When coupled with the facial expression, not so spooky, Shelby.
The really big grin. Okay. All right, Finley, give it a whirl.
Okay. I am Cruella DeVille.
All right, y'all, you have your assignments.
I started actually laughing in the middle, so I couldn't do it. Okay.
You have your assignments. I need comments. Who had the best evil laugh, Finley?
Who had the best evil laugh? And if you don't vote for me, I will cry. My ego is more fragile.
She is a Leo.
Shut up, you Capricorn. At least I feel something. Oh my god. Oh, it's been a night, y'all. I was literally in the car for 5 hours today. This is not my best mental state. All right. Vote on our evil laughs, rate us 1 to 10, and submit a CV to be Shelby's soulmate. Okay? That is what we're looking for. I would like to plan her wedding because I'm enjoying planning my own. Next.
It's going to be like
All right, Shelby. Let's just get into the Bravo. Bravo. Broadway. Bravo to Broadway. Let's get into Broadway.
We're moving into Broadway. We're moving a little early. I'm scared of what this conversation is going to be. So this week, we watched Little Shop of
Horrors. The worst movie ever.
We watched, it's the 1986 version with Rick Moranis.
The worst actor ever.
Actually, he wasn't that bad. I've seen worse. But there were cameos from Steve Martin and Bill Murray. And I didn't realize that Bill Murray had a cameo in this film. So when I saw him, I like lost my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Bill Murray. What's he doing here? It was a fun time.
I'll be honest. I don't know who Bill Murray is.
And we lost all of our fans with one sentence.
Who is he? Okay.
You'll learn. He was in Ghostbusters. He was in everything.
Yeah, I only watched the female version of that because hashtag feminism.
He was in, like, everything.
I know he was in everything, but he just has one of those white boy faces. Like, you just can't tell who they are.
Yeah, that's true. They're hard to tell apart.
But when I saw Steve Martin, I was sad because I was like, no, this ruins Cheaper by the Dozen 2, which is better than Cheaper by the Dozen, and I stand by that.
Yeah, Bill Murray got famous on Saturday Night Live. How did I not know that?
I didn't know it, because we're young. Yeah. That is called being young at heart, Shelby.
That's true. Yeah, so he got famous on Saturday Night Live. He's known for his deadpan delivery, according to his Wikipedia page.
Shelby's just going to read y'all Wikipedia entries for the rest of the podcast. What do you want to know?
Pretty much.
All right, well, Little Shop of Horrors sucked. It's the worst one we've watched so far, and I'm including Mary Poppins in that.
Oh, dang, I didn't realize you hated it that much.
I physically could not bring myself to look at the screen. I stayed on my phone, I kept my head down, I listened to it, I committed to listening to it, could not watch it.
Really?
I could not give it my full attention. What stopped me? The racism, the sexism, the terrible acting, the horrible singing, the baby voice, everything. The plant itself, the special effects, the costuming, the set design, the implication that you could electrocute a plant. Like, it was all bad.
Okay, so
I looked it up. You cannot electrocute a plant. It will not kill the plant.
Audrey 2 wasn't a plant. Audrey 2 was an alien.
I stand by what I said.
Finley didn't like Little Shop of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors is not my favorite film to watch. I do prefer the stage version, but I was trying to be nice to Finley and watch a shorter musical, and we all know that stage productions tend to be like 3 hours long. So, you know.
At least it was short. That's something. But that's still 90 minutes of my life I can't get back. And my fiancé was like, I like Little Shop of Horrors. I'll watch it with you. He started snoring 30 minutes in. And I had to keep watching.
Yeah. No, I definitely prefer the version that was at La Jolla Playhouse with George Salazar and MJ Rodriguez because, well, I love everything that MJ touches. Anywho. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed. I'm not upset. I'm disappointed, Shelby.
Yeah. This is my now embarrassing fun fact. I guess the first time I watched Little Shop of Horrors, that kind of all of the racism and the sexism just kind of went right over my head.
Because we were children that grew up in Georgia.
That's very true. But watching it now, you know, Suddenly Seymour is one of my favorite songs. And I guess I blocked out the dialogue that's right before she starts singing. Because I was watching it and then I was like, oh no. So Suddenly Seymour is now my guilty pleasure song because I'm not proud of the fact that I like it so much.
I literally texted Shelby. I was watching it before she had finished it because she too had to stop in the middle because it's that bad. Don't let her convince you she liked it.
No, yeah.
I was like, Shelby, I am judging you harshly for liking this song. And she's like, why? It's good. 30 minutes later, I get a text. Okay, so I started watching it again and I understand your judgment. I deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had started watching it. I don't remember the actress's name, but oh my gosh, I could not handle her voice. And that is a rare one.
What do you mean? You didn't like the voice?
Oh, God.
All women don't talk like this at work? What? Like, oh
and then
my
after
god.
They go missing, jump into the arms of the other. It was very problematic. It's a very problematic plot. You know, it's better.
You know
not
what
as
though?
Problematic on the stage, but it's still a very problematic plot.
What I will say, Steve Martin accurately portrayed dentists.
That was one of my notes. Was, you know, where's the lie though?
Where is the lie? I mean, I don't want to, you know, HIPAA violations, but I know somebody close to me who recently went to the dentist and they were there for a cleaning, ended up getting 8 shots in all 4 quadrants of their mouth, completely numbed up. It was basically like a surprise root canal that just to take advantage of the insurance, no Novocaine. And no laughing gas. Or maybe Novocaine, but no laughing gas.
Yeah, the shots.
Because, and I quote, insurance wouldn't cover it. The laughing gas.
Yeah. Not all
dentists. Like, just
are
strapped
like this,
down and
there's,
tortured.
There's enough of y'all bad apples to rotten the barrel, or whatever it is.
I'm terrified of the dentist. Absolutely terrified. I haven't. Confession time, Finley hasn't been to the dentist in 7 years.
Gross.
I keep my teeth clean, look.
Yeah, but like
they're
all
white.
The plaque buildup on there?
There is no plaque buildup. I use 2 different mouthwashes. You use your alcohol mouthwash, then you brush your teeth, and you use your whitening mouthwash.
And all the
flossing. I learned from TikTok. I learn everything from TikTok.
TikTok saving the day. It's your patriotic duty to have downloaded it. Anywho.
Honestly, it is.
So I don't know if you saw this on the Wikipedia page, though, but there is an original ending to Little Shop of Horrors, and I'm so sad.
And they
sad
cut it out.
Wasn't, yeah, I'm so sad that they had to cut it out, because I think I would have.
I'm not.
It.
Okay, no. But it was 23 minutes longer.
Yeah, but everybody died.
I don't care. I couldn't have sat through another 23 minutes. 90 yeah, was no. too many. That could have been a 5-minute movie. White man has the audacity to grow a strange plant, kill everyone, feed them to said plant, and then kill the plant because of his own stupidity.
Well, he also used the plant to make himself rich.
And scene. Like,
and he,
easy.
He killed his romantic rival and his boss.
Because of his own stupidity. Name a more accurate depiction of white men. Okay. I say that knowing full well I'm engaged to one. It's a personality flaw that I have had to overcome. It's hard to love a white man. Okay? It is.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
A problem Shelby
know.
Won't have.
Yeah, it is a problem I won't have. Anywho.
You'll have to deal with the fact that you're going to love a Karen. Potentially.
I mean, my roommate's name is Karen.
Okay, that's not what I meant. I was talking about the fact that you're probably going to end up with a white woman. Which is no better.
Probably. I'm not trying to, but statistically, probably. I am neither opposed nor open. I don't know what that's supposed
to
be.
So white women, send in your CVs.
No.
You heard that.
No,
She's not opposed.
Everybody send in your CV. Actually, nobody send in your CVs.
Nope, you heard that. She said everyone first. It's what the heart really wants. It came out.
Nobody send in your CVs. I don't want them.
I just want to start with I knew I was going to hate this movie within the first minute, and I'll tell you why. The font, okay? And the fact that they ripped off Star Wars. I've never seen Star Wars, but I can spell a ripoff from a mile away.
Yeah,
and
Star Wars came out 9 years before.
Yeah. And then they start with the Greek chorus that's all black but doesn't actually have a name or a real role in the plot, and with the lightest skinned one in the middle being centered in every shot. And then they have the audacity, sorry, I'm trying really hard not to cuss, the audacity to body pan up from her feet and then give her a baby voice. I was like, I'm out. This told me everything I need to know about the producers, the directors, the writers, the editors. I'm done. This movie is trash. And then I stopped watching.
Well.
I listened, but I didn't watch.
I think that about sums it up. In outside news for Little Shop of Horrors, There recently was like the first COVID production of a musical. There have been no positive cases from it. In the auditorium of 200 seats, they had 44 people who were allowed in, and they put up essentially a plastic sheet or like a bubble in between the stage and the audience so that, you know, the germs couldn't broadcast out to the audience. So stage plays and musicals are going to be a lot different in COVID times than what we are used to. But it was this little
theater.
Y'all
vote Biden and fix this situation, please.
Somewhere in the Northeast, I want to say. Vermont?
It's always in the Northeast.
New York? Somewhere in there. There's
probably
a New
York
Times article about it. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess I'll transition. I wanted to talk about the Tony nominations since they just came out. And it is fascinating.
A disaster? I'm not in the best mood, y'all. We are very quickly approaching midnight. And Finley wants to go to sleep.
Yeah,
oh, wait. Although, can I just say, the final nail in the coffin for me was at end when I looked up. We will talk about the Tonys in a second. In the end, I looked up at the screen and I saw what is, in my opinion, the ugliest wedding dress I've ever seen on TV.
Oh, I thought it was really pretty. The look Finley is giving me right now.
Shelby, you can't say you have the best fashion. I love you, but that's not an argument you get to make.
I tend to prefer the more unique stuff.
Unique is a word. Yeah. That describes this wedding dress perfectly. Unique. Should have been burned in a fire, but we'll go with unique.
I mean, I didn't say I wanted it to be my wedding dress. I just thought it was a pretty dress. The peplum, the peplum was weird.
There was a lot that was weird. There was a lot. There was a lot there. Also, just, if you're a woman, please don't marry the man that killed your boyfriend. That just doesn't seem like a recipe for success, ever.
It's a little bit stalkery. A lot of bit stalkery, you know? Not for it. We don't need to go from one abusive relationship to another.
Well, just also, if you need to murder someone to enter into a relationship, maybe don't be in a relationship. Maybe you need to go to therapy. We're big advocates of therapy on this podcast. And
we
stay single.
We are very big advocates of therapy. Get your stuff figured out.
Yes. Okay, back to the Tonys. Only one person is nominated for Best Actor, which I think is hysterical because they came out and they were like, yeah, but he still might not win.
Yeah, he has to get 60% of the votes.
I really don't want him to win. I think it would be hilarious if nobody won.
Aaron Tveit has to win. If not for this role, then for the other roles in which he was snubbed. So, okay, so there's two big...
But it'd be so funny if he didn't win.
It would be hysterical, but he's probably going to win.
Probably, but...
The other thing,
if everyone would lean into the comedy of the situation.
No, Aaron Tveit deserves a Tony. What was interesting about the Tonys is because there were only four musicals that premiered in the time frame before the cutoff, which was like February 19th, I want to say. So it was Tina, the Tina Turner musical, Jagged Little Pill, the Moulin Rouge revival, and Percy Jackson. The musical.
So nothing original.
No
original content.
Like, truly original musicals, no. Everything did have a reference point. But I think you'll find that most musicals tend to have some kind of basis for reference. Like, the stories are usually adapted from other
whether
plays
that basis is worth referencing or not, apparently.
Mythologies or... that's a hint for another musical we'll do later. Anywho.
Lord help me.
Yeah, a lot of them are based on a lot of different things. I mean, I'm pretty sure Emo the Musical is a truly original musical, but we're not.
I'm sorry,
to watch
what
it.
What just came out of your mouth? You say Elmo or Emo? Or Emo?
Emu
or Emo? Emu the Musical. It could be about the Emu War that Australia lost. They lost to a bunch of wild animals. I think that's hysterical. That's a great thing to base a musical off of. If anyone's listening, I want the rights to that.
It is an Australian musical.
I'm just picturing, like, Daniel Radcliffe dressed as an emu.
What? Why?
Emu the musical.
Yeah, but why would
he? It sounds like something he would star in.
Okay.
Like, his spider impression, I think, would lend to an emu quite nicely.
So the other drama in the Broadway world that I wanted to talk about.
Just sidestepping my brilliance, okay.
I'm gonna just sidestep that one.
Yo, I'm crying with laughter. Just picture Daniel Radcliffe as an emu. You'll laugh too.
Everyone,
if he's listening, I really want to produce this. I think that would be excellent.
You're gonna have to find money in order to produce it.
Somebody would be willing to pay for that, okay?
I don't think so.
I could get... Who's not in jail that's a good producer?
You should get...
We're gonna get sued for this podcast.
You're assuming we have a listener base big enough to get sued for this podcast. You should get whoever staged...
I want Lin-Manuel Miranda involved. I feel like he could write... It could be a musical, okay? And he could just... I feel like he could really write the opinions of the emu in a funny way. Daniel Radcliffe trying to rap Lin-Manuel Miranda's lyrics while dressed as an emu.
I mean, is your story gonna have romance in it?
Yes.
Who's gonna
play have gay emu love.
Awesome, I'm here for it. Who's gonna play the romantic interest?
Ron Weasley.
Do you happen to know the actor's name? Or do we need to
Rupert
steal
Grint.
A fictional character?
No, okay, actually, if I'm really, okay, I'm seriously casting this emu musical at this point. We've got Daniel Radcliffe, he's the main emu, okay? He is leading the charge, he is fighting off the Australians. And for our villain, we're gonna have the guy who played the cop in Les Mis. What was his name?
Russell Crowe?
Yes, Russell Crowe is going to lead the Australian army.
Oh my gosh, you have to have the leader of the Australian army be Hugh Jackman, because then it's just Les Mis, you know, part two.
I was going to say Hugh Jackman is Daniel's love interest. He's one of the emus.
Oh, he's one of the emus. I mean, I'll take
Russell Crowe is leading the Australian army.
Oh, okay, I accept. I'll take it.
And it's not even going to be that Hugh Jackman is, like, a part of the army. He is Daniel's concubine emu. Okay?
We're going to get sued.
This sounds brilliant! I don't know! And then, and this is the best part, it's an all-female emu army. So we've got Rebel Wilson. We've got Melissa McCarthy. We've got Adele. They are all the emus. Yes, Lizzo is an emu as well. She would sign on for this, and you know it. A twerking flautist emu. She leads the band. You know how, you know, armies have marching bands? Lizzo is the marching band. A twerking flautist emu. This sounds like gold. Why is nobody paying me? I am stone cold sober.
And that's the scary part, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody
else. That's just
else.
How my brain works. And this would be amazing. I'm going to start writing this screenplay, and then I'm going to email it to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
All right, it's not
I
a
think
screenplay.
My cast is very expensive, but it can happen.
Is this a movie musical or a Broadway musical?
Both.
All right, where's it going to start?
London.
So it's a West End musical.
Yes, it seems something that would only be a West End musical. It's a little too nouveau for Broadway, okay? A little too fetishy for Broadway.
And, okay.
There's going to be gay emu sex, after all. And it's going to be on stage. There will be penetration.
You can't do that. You can pretend.
How do emus have sex? Do they lay eggs? Actually, I think they just lay eggs because they're just big chickens. You know what? I would have to actually cast Jack Whitehall as the love interest, not Hugh Jackman, because he loves emus. Hugh Jackman could be on the same side as Russell Crowe. Robert Pattinson could be one of the Australian ones. We have to cast the Australian army still. Robert Pattinson is the band for the Australian army. So at one point, he plays the piano. He actually wrote Bella's Lullaby.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No. He did. He plays the guitar.
Shelby, I think you're wrong.
I'm pretty sure I'm not.
I'm Googling. Robert Pattinson wrote... Robert Pattinson write Bella's Lullaby. There we go. Yeah, he composed it.
It was... Well, on the soundtrack, it's not credited to him. It's credited to Carter Burwell.
Okay. I have an MTV article that says Rob is writing it on the piano as we speak, but then the actual credit goes to Carter Burwell.
Yeah.
He actually does play it, though, on the piano.
He did learn it, yes.
So he is, at one point, going to be in a rap / twerking battle with Lizzo. As rival bands. They're going to embody rival marching bands.
Piano on the battlefield? I just feel like a guitar would be more mobile.
He could have a guitar. Okay. I think it'd be funnier if he had a grand piano strapped to him.
A grand piano? Do you know how big a grand piano is?
That's where the comedy lies! Because he's so small.
Oh,
the piano's so big. Oh, I want it just like leashed to him, like just a leash that he drags the piano around with. But
no.
He could like still get on top of it and
try to move a grand piano.
I understand it requires a whole team. However, this is a movie, okay? Magic happens.
I've decided it's a movie musical.
He can have a guitar in the stage production and a piano leash. Like one of those backpack kid leashes, but it's connected to a piano. And the backpack is of an emu, just to rub it in their faces.
So then does he lead the emu around?
No! He's the Australian Army's band.
Yes.
He's there to support and entertain the Australian Army and also serve as their concubines. Robert Pattinson and Russell Crowe making out.
We've mentioned concubines one too many times. Mommy, what's a concubine?
Concubines are in Mulan.
Yeah, but they don't call them that.
Yes, they do.
I'm pretty sure that they never say, and these are the emperor's concubines. If they do,
no, they do, because that's how they sneak in.
Do they say, like, we are the concubines?
Yes!
Well, there's no explanations of what that word means.
Well, you're gonna learn when you see Robert Pattinson making out with Russell Crowe after his fancy little guitar solo and dance.
Maybe, and this is a radical idea, we could actually cast gay men to play these roles.
Name a famous gay man. That is also Australian.
Okay, that is also Australian. I was going to say Matt Bomer, Jim Parsons.
Neither of them would be in an army.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Now, Neil Patrick Harris is interesting.
His husband, David Burtka.
Okay, but my problem is Neil Patrick Harris. Like, it's only funny because Lizzo is an extremely talented artist and Robert Pattinson is not. Neil Patrick Harris is too talented. But he could be in the army. It's going to be a whole gay army. Nobody will be straight in this musical.
Can we also... Okay, all right, you already said we're doing the women as the emus.
And yes.
The men as the Australians.
Yes.
So the emus have to win, obviously.
But Daniel Radcliffe will lead the all-female emu army. He will be the only male.
Makes sense.
Yes. He fits that crowd better. I want nobody else from the Harry Potter franchise because I don't want it to feel too redundant.
So there's no
more. You know what? Neil Patrick Harris should lead the army. Neil Patrick Harris is leading the Australian army. Russell Crowe's out.
Okay. Sure.
Robert Pattinson, I stand by Robert Pattinson as the band.
Okay.
And it is one person. I envision, you know, Mary Poppins, whenever the one guy is playing like the 10 instruments, that is how Robert Pattinson will be the band.
The one man band.
Yes.
Who's that? Dick Van Dyke?
I don't know. Matt Bomer could be an Australian infantryman. One that gets killed by the emu. Because the emu win the war, historically. They really did!
No, I believe you. I'm just... The thought that went through my head is we are alienating all of our Australian viewers unless they are also... Viewers? What is that? Listeners? Unless they are...
They know they lost to some big birds. I'm gonna read you, since this has become the Wikipedia... It's called The Great Emu War.
Pretty sure you just spent 15 minutes writing and casting a musical.
Okay, the Emu War, also known as the Great Emu War, was a nuisance wildlife management military operation undertaken in Australia over the latter part of 1932 to address public concern over the number of emus said to be running amok in the district of Western Australia. The unsuccessful attempts to curb the population of emus, a large flightless bird indigenous to Australia, employed soldiers armed with Lewis guns, leading the media to adopt the name Emu War when referring to the incident. While a number of the birds were killed, the emu population persisted and continued to cause crop destruction. It was right after World War I, and they were discharged veterans who had served in the war. They were supposed to become farmers, and instead they fought an emu war and lost.
10 years after World War I.
I'm reading you. It says, following World War I, large numbers of discharged veterans who served in the war were given land up farming.
Oh, God.
I wish this was a joke, but this is the Wikipedia page.
Like, some innocent farmers caught in the middle is what...
Neil Patrick Harris.
Is he the farmer?
Yes, and then he becomes the leader of the Australian army.
Okay. So
because the farmers were the veterans from World War I.
Gotcha. Okay.
They ended up being the soldiers. Yes.
I understand now. Gotcha.
He lives next door to Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman.
Wasn't Hugh...
Matt Bomer lives down the street.
Okay.
Matt Bomer has the prettiest, like, farmer field. He's the most upset about the destruction.
Billy Porter should be in this,
too. Oh, how did I forget Billy Porter? Who has the nicer farm? Billy Porter and Matt Bomer live in a farm together, and it's the most beautiful farm. They grow golden pears. It's just gorgeous. It's the best scene. We dedicate 90% of the set-making time to their farm.
We need some genderqueer people in this, too. Let's have Sam Smith. Let's have...
Sam Smith is an emu. He plays Daniel Radcliffe's love interest.
Sam Smith is the love interest. I'm here for it.
We haven't come up with the love interest for Daniel Radcliffe yet.
Yeah.
He's okay. Daniel Radcliffe's concubine.
They. There. Sam Smith is Daniel Radcliffe's concubine. I'm here for it.
Yes.
I like that.
And he also has a duet with Lizzo.
They also have a duet with Lizzo.
It is literally 12:02 a.m. I cannot be expected.
We're going to put this out to the public. We got to get the pronouns right. Because we know better. We are an interesting...
I do know better. I just can't think. I'm talking okay. about Daniel Radcliffe dressed as a frickin' emu. I don't think my brain is firing on all cylinders right now.
There's something very wrong with your brain for coming up with this monstrosity of a musical.
I'm gonna write it down and y'all are gonna be like, wow, she's brilliant. This is hysterical. And the screenplay will be immaculate. It's gonna be 100 pages minimum. Okay.
How long?
Who's the? Jesus. I need to have a narrator. Who's my narrator? Oh, who's the? Should Sam Smith be the narrator? Leslie Jones is in it. Leslie Jones is the narrator.
Yes, I'm here for that. Okay, yep, solid.
I don't think it's diverse enough. We need some Asians and some Latinos.
You can't just say it like that. Okay.
I'm gonna cut this part out.
We should have BTS right. should be in it for a song.
They are the intermission dance break. Dressed as emus.
Yes, BTS definitely needs to be the emus.
So during intermission, there's a dance battle. On one side we have BTS. On the other side.
CNCO on the other side. No.
Yes.
They can't dance as well as BTS can.
Nobody can dance as well as BTS can. Next.
But, you know, it's yeah. I would be here.
I'm actually going to look up, hang on. Let's see who the biggest Latino boy band in the world is right now.
I mean, it's either CNCO or, what is it, Pretty Much?
It's CNCO, actually. Yeah.
They have good songs. They have good music. I'm here for it. CNCO and BTS.
Yeah, I actually really like their songs.
Yeah.
Okay, so CNCO and BTS have a dance break as the intermission, a dance battle. CNCO is the Australians. BTS as emus. Daniel Radcliffe with Sam Smith on one side. Matt Bomer and Billy Porter on the other. Head to head in the great emu war. Does that not sound like a solid idea? The trailer for that turned you all on a little bit, and you know it.
Okay, but is there going to be any, like, tragedy?
Yes.
Is everyone going to survive the war?
None of the farmers.
So you're going to kill Billy Porter and Matt Bomer?
Like Romeo and Juliet, yes I am. They are going to each drink poison, thinking the other has died. When really... Matt Bomer will be playing dead. No. Billy Porter will be playing dead in order to survive the emu attack. And then Matt Bomer will stumble upon his body and go, "Oh, my love, our golden pears are going to die."
Well, that's when he should sing like a really heart-wrenching ballad.
Yes. And you just see BTS creeping in off the screen as emus. And then... he drinks poison. He poisons himself with the golden pears. We find out the golden pears are poison all along. They were planning this. And then Billy Porter sits up and is like, "What the hell? I'm alive. I'm faking dead. You don't see the emus? I'm trying to live. Fake dead with me." And then Matt Bomer actually dies and Billy Porter's like, "Oh, crap. What have I done?" And eats the golden pear as well. And they both die tragically together, and then the emus, as BTS, as the emus, come in and eat their corpses. And destroy their golden pear crop.
Predators? Are they carnivores?
They won a war!
Yeah, but I don't think they eat people. And you're Googling it.
Yes. Yes, they do eat people.
They do eat people? Oh, this took a turn. Okay, I might actually be into this musical. This terrible, terrible... I'm just... I have no words.
Oh, I'm sorry. They forage for a variety of plants and insects, but have been known to go for weeks without eating. Our emus eat people, though. It's a spooky season musical, okay?
We have carnivorous emus.
Did you know that emu is an Arabic word that was co-opted by Portuguese explorers who traveled to Australia?
Fascinating.
That's a lot of cultural appropriation. I'm here for the emu, though. I do like the animal.
Are Americans writing a musical about the Great Emu War in Australia?
Yeah, this is not my most politically correct thing, but I chalk that up to it being 12:08 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right.
And so I've been awake since like 8. And like in the car for 5 hours.
It might be time for us to bring it to an end.
I was really hoping that we could actually bounce off each other and come up with an actual trailer for this, but if you want to end it, that's fine.
What kind of trailer?
I don't know, I just think we could do really dramatic readings of the Emu War. You as Daniel Radcliffe, me as Billy Porter.
Okay, so Daniel Radcliffe is the leader of the emus?
Yes. And actually, I'll be Lizzo. I'll be the narrator. No, that's Leslie Jones. I'm going to have to go back through, listen to this, write it all down, and I'll submit a screenplay to you all next week, okay? In a world devastated by emu crop destruction, farmers out in Western Australia thought that they could rise up and take their land back. The emus had a different idea. Told from the perspective of a dance battle.
Boom, 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 boom.
BTS enters from the side. No.
Daniel Radcliffe and Billy Porter circle each other threateningly. Billy Porter is wearing 6-inch stiletto heels, so he dominates over tiny Daniel Radcliffe.
Also because he's already like 6 inches taller than Daniel Radcliffe.
Exactly.
And yet, the emu stares unafraid back at the farmer, knowing he will win this war. Dun dun dun! Cue evil laugh. Shelby, go. Bam! There's our trailer. That sounds perfect.
Mic drop. I wonder what would happen if I actually dropped my mic. Should not do that. But yeah,
no,
I'm
bad things. We would break the mic.
I'm here for the All right. Trailer.
All right. On that note, me and Shelby are going to go to bed. We're going to get some much needed sleep and mental clarity. And
in this podcast,
hopefully next week, it will be better. I don't think I'm going to try my hardest. If it's not late, I deserve a cookie. Send me your cookies, okay? Make me some cookies. I want them.
We have a P.O. box.
I will get a P.O. box if somebody offers to make me cookies.
All right, send us
you
an
know
email
what? COVID.
If you want to
actually,
send...
Actually, COVID. I don't want your cookies.
Send us an email to send Finley virtual cookies. I will make sure she sees them.
Oh, but looking at them would be worse because knowing that I can't eat them. Because then you would have just made yourself cookies and sent me a picture. That seems like a humble brag that I'm not here for.
Well, then what do you want as your reward?
Money. Cash.
Go find our
All
Patreon
right,
buried in the bowels of the internet. No, I'm kidding. It's not published yet. But...
We're going to have to cut it there because this is just taking a turn that I don't think we can... sign our support to at this point.
Yeah, we should probably
All right, y'all.
Not be begging for money.
Although I am planning a wedding and it's expensive. Why is getting married so hard? All right. On that note, this has been Bravo to Broadway, your go-to podcast for all things Bravo, all things Broadway, all things musical writing. If you liked our page, please give us a like, comment, follow on Bravo to Broadway on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also send us an email at bravotobroadway@gmail.com. And we are accepting virtual cookies, cash, CVs for Shelby's soulmate, and a rating of 1 to 10 for our podcast. And also, if you would like to help make The Great Emu War a musical come to life, please lend us your support in any way you can. If you know people, hit me up. I am very serious about this idea. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Emus.